time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
You know, over the weeks, I've been talking to you about the Tea Party movement, talking to you about values that I agree with, things that I think are wrong, Tea Partiers are speaking against, but just caution about the anger part. And I've talked about man's anger doesn't accomplish God's righteous will. Well, I want to get closer to home and talk to all of you a little bit about anger today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. Here's a number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can always email me at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at AskDrBrown.org. A lot going on, by the way. We are one day out from the debate with Professor Bart Ehrman at Ohio State University. Tomorrow night, right after this broadcast today, I'll be hitting the road, flew in from New York last night, and we'll be flying, God willing, into Ohio tonight. And then the debate is tomorrow night, so really covet your prayers. Hopefully you've signed up to watch it. It's free live webcast. Just go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage is a link to click to sign up to watch the webcast. But Day of Silence, the Gay Activist Day at schools, is 2 days out. We'll talk more about that. But let me tell you why this anger subject came up, and I've been wanting to chat with you about it. What pushes your button? What gets your goat? What provokes you? What area do you have to be specially careful about? Yeah, I want to hear from you. You can use a pseudonym if you want. You can be a Pluto One from Zimbabwe calling in today. If you'd rather give your name and location, that's fine. But I know, as my friend Don Wilkerson said years ago, Christians shouldn't have a goat. We shouldn't have a button to push. And to be sure, some of us have more grace than others. Some people struggle less with anger issues than others. Before I was saved, I had a really bad temper. I mean, a really mean-spirited, crazy, angry temper. And it was jealous temper and possessive temper, and it was very, very ugly. I was an ugly enough character with drugs and pride and hardness and sharp tongue and all this, but the anger thing, the fierce anger, would push it to another level. In fact, and you got to understand, my friends and I were getting high. We had kind of crazy ideas. So that gives a little context for this name. But I would become like another person when I would lose my temper. And it could stay for hours and hours and hours. And I was not physically violent, but I was verbally violent. I got one of my friends so upset one time, and I'm going to get to the nickname in a minute. But I got one of my friends so upset. He was a little unstable at that time anyway, but I got him so upset, attacking him verbally and going after him and just not letting up and not letting up and not letting up, that he started banging his head on the side of the door, the threshold of the door, I should say, until he got a mild concussion. I was really crazy angry. And I would change into a different person to the point that my best friend called me Crag the Evil Genie, just like this new person arose. And that temper came up a few times when I was first saved, just ugly, angry outbursts and attacking someone, you know, calling the church angrily. And I was amazed at how forgiving and loving the brothers and sisters were there. It really taught me very quickly, humble yourself, ask forgiveness, confess your sin, and that's a place of grace. And that was something I really had to deal with, and I wrestled with it, I prayed about it, and a verse that helped me was where God's word says in Proverbs chapter 16, better is a patient man than a warrior, and one who rules his spirit is greater than one who takes a city. And I realized that I had to rule my spirit. Yeah, there can be demonic influences, and I'm sure some people have a demonic issue with temper, but I recognized I had a certain personality, and I had to learn to rule my spirit. And by God's grace now, he'll call me into difficult, challenging situations. Of course, I always lean on him. I always look to him for grace. But a lot of situations don't provoke me that would provoke other people. Being on the Tyra Banks show and people just interrupting constantly, I knew that would be coming. I knew there'd be opposition. Being in certain debates, secular TV, different settings where people are trying to push a button and get me angry and upset. And there's just grace towards them. And I also know that we overcome evil with good, that a soft answer breaks the bone, that a harsh word stirs up strife, but a soft word turns away wrath. I know those truths, and I want to be an effective representative of Jesus. But it seems I'll have special grace in those areas. And, of course, again, I depend on him. There may be things come up in the debate with Bart Ehrman tomorrow night that could be provoking to the flesh. So, again, I look to the Lord for grace and to overcome a bad attitude with a good attitude. But that being said, there's still some things that just get me upset, and I've got to be careful that I don't react. And it's something happened. I got a phone call right before going on the air a couple days ago. It was a few minutes before, so my phone ring, didn't recognize the number, picked it up as my cell phone. And I'll tell you about the call a little later, but what is it that pushes your button? What is it that it just can provoke you? It can get you upset. It can get you angry. Is it maybe some you hear in the news, injustice? Or something of the political party that you don't support, something they're doing gets you upset? Or maybe somebody getting away from something, or maybe something more domestic. I realized that I had to be careful traveling a lot, to always be gracious with folks at check-in counters if there was an error on my ticket or something, it wasn't their fault. Okay, I learned to do that after maybe not being as nice as I should have on a couple of occasions. But I realized if I was traveling with my wife, Nancy, that I was more protective over her and I could be more easily annoyed if there was an error. And, okay, don't get in the flesh. You're a servant of the Lord. Don't get in the flesh. But one time I was sitting in a fast food place in Maryland. I think it was a Roy Rogers, kind of like similar to a Wendy's. Don't get upset if you're really into one or the other that I made a comparison. It's not perfect. Okay. I think I was sitting in a Roy Rogers with a friend. We were in the back of the restaurant, fast food restaurant, and there were two ladies talking, and they obviously had their couple of their kids with them, and these kids were just running through the place. I mean, running around, running on tables, chairs, just running around. Completely undisciplined, completely disruptive to the whole place. Nobody said anything. And, you know, I was mildly tempted to stick my leg out and trip a kid or, like, grab him and say, will you just sit down? But they weren't my kids. But it was annoying. It was something rose up. I don't mean to smack the kid. I'm joking. Trust me. Yes, I'm joking. That was a joke about tempted to trip the kid. But I did want to just grab the kid by the arm and say, hey, you don't go running around. You don't go standing on the chairs like this. You don't. But, of course, it wasn't for me to do that. They were somebody else's kids. Did you ever hear define that a brat is the kid that acts like yours but belongs to your next-door neighbor? Hopefully not. Hopefully your kids are extraordinary, and you've never had to discipline them ever in their entire lives. It's because they're like 3 days old. Okay. But I'm just curious to know, are there any things that push your button? Or are there anger issues that God taught you to overcome? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I believe in the coming days there's going to be more and more anger rising in our society. There's worldwide anger now with the Catholic Church and the issue of pedophile priests and how the Vatican handled that, or how church leadership that's now in the Vatican handled that. There's rising anger towards our government. There's going to be anger rising, I'm sure, as a lot more things become unglued. And I know the word says be angry and don't sin. It's not a call to be angry. There is an anger that we can have without sinning. But so much of the time, our anger is mingled with human sin. And the moment that happens, we become ineffective in God. So a couple of questions for you. I'm going to get into some other things on the other side of the break, but we'll take your calls. What pushes your butt? I'll tell you about the call I got that it was almost supernatural. It's just like I instantly had to restrain anger and be polite with the person calling. And I'm just telling you, it pushed a button with me. I don't know if it was a demonic thing or these people have special skill or whatever it is, but it pushed a button. And I would rather that button wasn't even there to be pushed. Maybe you've had issues, anger issues, things that just really got to you, and through the word or prayer or something, or got delivered from something, that you were really able to overcome this. I'd love to hear from you. It's not my normal kind of topic, but I thought it's worth talking about, and I actually think it's very relevant and is going to be increasingly relevant in the body. Right, we come back, Vicky from Winston-Salem, you'll be up first. I've got an encouraging update for you and some information that you need to hear. Probably get you angry, but there's a constructive response to it. All right, stay with us. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire today. We're talking about anger. What provokes anger? What pushes your button? What have you done to overcome anger? I'm convinced we're going to see more and more anger in the world and in the church. A lot of it will be unhealthy. So just kind of talking on a casual level about that today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I'm about to share some things with you that you'll get angry over. You get upset over, grieved over. The question is, what can we do about it constructively? But first, let's go to the phones. Vicky in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling today.
Hello.
Hello, Vicky.
Hi. I don't know whether or not you can hear me. I'm coming to an area that may be a little choppy. But the one thing that gets me angry is my daughters. I mean, they're in their 20s, and I can deal with other people's shortcomings, but with them, I just can't. I mean, I will get so angry, I mean, at a drop of the hat with them, because they should know better.
Uh-huh.
And some of their the behaviors that they exhibit, I just don't even understand where they get them from. And so, no, they make me very, very angry, and it's just something that I have not been able to control. I can control it with other people, but with them, I can't.
Yeah, when it's closer to home, isn't that amazing? It's almost like instantly it pushes a button, or you see red or something. And I'm going to try to dig up a teaching I did some years ago on anger and ways to control it, deal with it. If I can't find it, maybe I'll do a special teaching on it next week. So if you check our website or keep listening, we'll give you hopefully an hour's worth or 45 minutes worth of constructive thoughts on this. But yeah, I'm sure as you're talking, a lot of people are sitting there nodding like, uh-huh. And so yeah. It's worse now that they're older.
It is. It is a lot worse. And it could be just at a drop of a hat. I mean, something that she does, and it just sends me over the edge. And and I know that is not the Christian way to handle it. But at this point in time in her life, I'm like, what is not sinking in?
Uh-huh.
And so that's the problem.
Got it. All right. Well, Vicky, I'm sure you articulated thoughts of a whole bunch of people out there, and we'll give you some constructive input. If not, we'll link online in a teaching next week. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Vicky, for being honest. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm sure Vicky's not alone there. That you can be almost saintly with other people, or saintly with things outside the house, or saintly in pressure situations, and then just something pushes you. So I get this call. Didn't know what the number was. It was maybe about 10 minutes before it was going to go on the air, but I had everything ready for the show. So phone rang, I picked it up, and it was someone from a collection company working with, I guess it was actually a fitness club. They're bill collectors, I should say. And they're calling to tell me I owe this ridiculous amount of money. Excuse me, what are you talking about? And they told me, now first thing, when I talked to them many months back, the amount was less than half this. Now suddenly the thing had more than double. And what happened was they had, I was a particular fitness club. I had a month-to-month contract and then something else along with it, and they failed to provide services. There was a guy who was working out with a trainer. They failed to provide services. And over a two-month period, they kept failing to provide. They kept billing me, and I kept telling them, hey, you don't have a trainer. You're not giving me another trainer. And finally, I contacted American Express, told them I'm getting billed wrongly. They did a dispute. They looked into the whole thing. They said, yep, you're correct. We'll refund the charges, and they won't be able to bill you anymore. And then when the folks called, I said, yeah, American Express looked into it. You never responded. And so we canceled our membership in writing, and it's all been done. And they'd get upset on the phone, and they'd get and I'd start to get riled. I mean, I would instantly get robbed. Like, okay, wait, you're a follower of Jesus, and you're a minister. You're a follower of Jesus, and you have a public voice for the Lord, and here you're getting agitated with someone. So, okay, I can't get agitated. And then I talked to someone else. You know, I figured, okay, I'll call back, and I'll be really polite. And instantly, they would be, like, completely inept and have the wrong information. So didn't hear from anymore. And I thought, okay, we're good. Fine. We looked into it righteously through the credit card company. The credit card company did their dispute, their investigation. They said, okay, you're right. They won't be able to bill you anymore. We back you in this. And then they call out of the blue, and the thing, like I said, is over twice the amount. But what was wild was instantly. And I wasn't angry with the person. I said, actually, this is not the number to call me on. Here's a different number, but the charges are completely invalid. But instantly, I was fighting anger. And I'm going to be getting on the radio now in a few minutes. I said, excuse me, I have a live radio show to do, and this is not the number to be calling me on. But the bill had been doubled. I hadn't heard from anybody there in probably 6 months. And it's one thing if I'm trying to rip somebody off or being dishonest, or I have a bill and I'm being negligent. But it's completely other. And I don't know if it was the injustice of it. I'm sure you've had this happen. I don't know if it was the injustice of it. I don't know if it was the attitude of the person on the other side after you've talked to people and given them information and facts. I don't know if these people have this demonic gift to just stir something. I don't know if the demons were operating with the phone call or what, or just some reflex reaction in me, but I'm telling you, instantly I had a fight off. It felt like a spirit of anger or just this angry attitude rising up. And it's the crazy thing is I can be in pressure-filled situations that would provoke somebody, that would get you or somebody else that's not used to this or called to do it angry or upset or mad and doesn't even touch me. I'm telling you, I don't even have to put down anger. A friend that had debated me over the years and sometimes could be very provoking, he asked me, how do I deal with that and not respond with anger? I said, well, I don't have an angry button to push. You know, when you're getting upset with me, when you're challenging me, when you're treating me a certain way, it's not even like I have to use self-control. I care about you, and there's just grace to do it. And here I get phone calls. Oh! So it got me thinking about this, and the whole angry attitude that causes people to see red, you know, it never produces good fruit. Oh, there's a holy anger, a righteous anger, where we are grieved, where we hate the devil, where we hate what he's doing, where we see ugly, wrong things in this world, injustice. It could be the horror of abortion. It could be something else. It could be blatant deception. But if that anger turns into fleshly anger, if that does not turn into a burden that goes to God, if that does not turn into a desire to humble yourself and serve and throw yourself into the situation to make a difference, then what is the use of it? 866-34-TRUTH. So just curious, what is it that either pushes your button or just provokes you? And maybe you found ways to deal with that anger constructively. We come back, I'm going to talk to you about the Day of Silence taking place in schools on 2 days. I'll let you know how schools actually participate in this gay propaganda day, influencing kids as young as middle schools, maybe in a city school near you. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. We're talking about things that provoke anger. I'm convinced our society is going to be getting angrier and angrier against the government. I'm convinced that we'll see more anger trickling into the church. There's a healthy anger that would drive, say, William Wilberforce to stand up against slavery, the injustice, the horror, the cruelty of it. But a lot of things just provoke us in the flesh. I was just talking about a call I got from someone trying to collect an invalid bill, an unjust bill that had that I didn't know, and just, I don't know what, it just, you want to get angry because it's just not fair, it's just not right, and why are they harassing you? But the problem of anger is a real problem because James 1 tells us that man's anger will not accomplish God's righteous will. So, let me do this, and then Mike from Raleigh, you're up next. One of our callers is angry because the ACLU, the Forsyth County case versus ACLU about prayer in Jesus' name, saying, no, you can't. You can't pray public government-related meeting in Jesus' name. And yeah, there are things like that that can really provoke anger. The problem is, what are we going to do with it? So here, Day of Silence, gay, lesbian, activist-sponsored day. What is it, 15th, 16th straight year of this? They're expecting several hundred thousand students in several thousand schools to participate, including middle schools. Middle schools, you know how? Or just during the break, our oldest grandchild, who's 9, just came by, gave her a hug. We're getting ready to go on vacation for a few days with the family next week. And just a few years from now, she'd be in middle school. It's mind-boggling. So this is a day when kids are encouraged to go to school and not participate. And just now, though, they're being told you have to participate in class, but you can be silent the rest of the day. Up until recently, they've said, no, don't even participate in class. Why? To stand against intolerance. But check this out. Check this out. Bedford High School in Massachusetts. This is on the school calendar sent home by the school. Remember that April 16th, 2010 is the Day of Silence. The school is promoting gay activist agendas in the school. On Friday, April 16th, students who choose to participate in the Gay Straight Alliance-sponsored Day of Silence will spend the day in a mute expression of the silencing effect of intolerance. Students understand that they will need to break their silence if their oral participation is needed in class. Otherwise, they're supposed to be silent through the day. This, kids coming to school like this are going to be silent, not say a word, why? Because they're standing against intolerance. What does that mean? That if you do not embrace homosexuality, if you do not embrace transgenderism, if you do not embrace everything related to it, you're intolerant. Here, this is from the middle school in Newton, Massachusetts. Mass Resistance sent this material out. Gay Straight Alliance in middle school. In particular, students at the club want to end bullying, harassment, prejudice, negative language. Okay, I agree with that on a blanket level. Now, specifically, that relates to sexual orientation and gender identity. In other words, if a boy wants to come to school dressed as a girl, or he wants to wear girl's makeup and high heels, or a girl wants to identify as a boy, then you can't be upset. Well, no, you don't bully, harass the kid, God forbid. But now, the ones that are confused and just allowing any kind of expression, whatever the kid wants to be, let them be that, you just have to accept it, embrace it, promote it. All students and their families should feel safe and included in our school community, whether identify as gay, straight, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, questioning, or intersex. It's not up to public schools, friends. It is not up to public schools to set up some scenario where young kids are going to be influenced. You all have to accept this. No, that's not up to the school to do that. Yeah, treat everyone with respect. You shouldn't bully it. But don't say you've got to be accepting of someone that's transgender, accepting of someone that's bisexual. You can love that person and pray for that person and be nice to that person. You don't have to embrace their sexuality or their expression. You should be able to say, you know, I think it's wrong. You know, it bothers me when you come to school, you're a boy, and you're wearing all this girl's makeup and wearing high heels and boasting about your girl's underwear. You know, that bothers me. I'm not going to be mean to you, but that bothers me. No, that's being intolerant. Well, that's a grievous thing. If you want to know about alternatives, go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire. And if you look at the show from Monday, you'll just see alternative things that you can do. There is the Day of Silence walkout, so find out if your school's participating in the Day of Silence on the 16th. If so, pull your kids out that day. There's the Day of Truth, where your kids will go into school on the 15th. That'll be tomorrow. And when they go into school, they'll talk about, hey, we want to have open conversations about faith and sexuality. We'll do it in love. We'll do it graciously. But we want to have open conversations, open discussion. We're not going to be silenced either. So find out about this. And parents, by all means, check to see if there's going to be a Day of Silence in your kid's school on Friday the 16th. And then do something about it. Either Day of Silence walkout on that day, the Day of Truth the day before, or both. Again, you can find out about this on our website, AskDrBrown.org, by clicking on the line of fire. Mike in Raleigh, thanks for calling today.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
On the topic of anger, when I think about anger, thinking about unrighteous anger, I see it as just being the heat of life that actually reveals what's truly going on within our heart. So it's not the situation that causes us to get angry, but the situation is revealing the indwelt, the sin, the old man that resides. And I had this happen to me. I had my insurance cut recently, and I was angry over it. And the main reason I was angry, I felt like it was injustice, but it was really more of me just wanting it my way when I wanted it too. So it just revealed what truly resides within me.
All right. So in the case of, say, someone that's really patient with other people's kids, but not with their own kids, what do you think that would be revealing?
I guess there's an aspect of you kind of hit on the righteous anger. You know, as a parent, you want to see, you understand that Proverbs speaks about parenting and discipline and the correct way. So when you see that blowing up, you know, we have to look at within our own heart. But I can see that being a good anger, and then how you act out on it could be another story.
Got it. Yeah, that's one of those that could easily cross the line. Hey, Mike, thanks for the insight. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Yes, certainly when we react to something, it's showing what's inside of us. I have to try to figure out what it was that got provoked by someone calling me to with a bill that was more than doubled in amount that was not a valid bill in the first place, that had already been worked out and proven that it was not valid. I have to figure that out. But when I talk to you about Day of Silence, when I talk to you about things happening with kids in schools, I want to stir people. I do want to stir you. I want to stir you to holy action. But it's important to not get angry at people. Gay, lesbian community are not our enemies. These are people for whom Jesus died, and some of them have suffered a lot in their lives. They're people that should be at the top of our list as those upon whom we have compassion. As for an activist agenda, we need to stand in righteousness, but in the spirit of Jesus. All right, more to come. We're just putting up the link to today's show on the Line of Fire website, and put down as a title, "What Pushes Your Anger Button?" I don't think you should have an anger button, or I should have an anger button where we can get provoked, but sometimes we do. And most of the time, it's not righteous anger, and therefore, with that mixture, it does more harm than good. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So let me ask a constructive question. If you have had a problem in the past dealing with anger, I know the word now is anger management. I don't know what the counseling regimen is with that or how it works or what the approach is. I'm not aware on any level. But just looking at it spiritually, relationship with God, meditation on the word, self-discipline, what has helped you overcome anger? Maybe you used to be a very angry person before you knew the Lord, and God's put peace in your heart. You're more at peace with yourself, and you're just not mad all the time. The brother that I work with in India, Brother Yesupadam, before he was a believer, was an angry man. Why was he angry? Well, he was angry with the system first. He was raised in untouchable. A Canadian missionary found him collapsed on the side of the road, dying, brought him into the hospital, and he was able to recover just as a boy. But that did not produce a love in his heart for God. He was angry with the caste system. We can't imagine what it's like. But when he was in school, and he was only in school because he was too weak to work, when he was in school, if kids were drinking water, he would have to wait for the water to fall through their hands so he could try to get some as it was falling through their hands, you know, from their lips, through their hands. The injustice, the oppression that he saw made him angry. His father had become a Christian and given him a name, Yesupadam, Jesus Foot. That made him angry because he did not like Jesus or God, religion. He became an atheist. He became a communist when he was just a boy, maybe 11 years old, but just a young boy. He signed in blood to become a communist, Naxalite, as it would be called in India. And as he got older, he was engaged in terrorist activities as a communist, you know, attacking villages, attacking rich people, stealing their money, violent acts, an alcoholic, and never cried. The day his mother died, I think he cried. Otherwise, he didn't cry. And Jesus appeared to him. He saw a vision, not totally clear vision, but looked up, and maybe in a church service he was attending, I forget that detail, it may have gone because someone asked him to, but he saw Jesus with his hand stretched out, and Jesus saying to him, "This is how much I love you." And he began to cry, and pretty much every day since then has cried. He's a man of many tears and of much compassion for his Indian people, and would gladly lay down his life for his Indian people, and has demonstrated his commitment over and again. When Jesus changed him on the inside, that anger against the system went, and instead it was a matter of how can I show the love of God to my Indian people. Back to the phones, Darren in Raleigh, thanks for calling. Hey, Darren.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Good, Dr. Brown, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, you were talking about this anger thing, and with Christians being angry and sinning not. And I tell you, I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and what angers me today in the church is where I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where the pastor is exalted above the other four ministries. But we have that. We have that exaltation. And men building little kingdoms unto themselves. And everybody wants to see, seems that they're in some kind of ministry, got to be a fee attached to it.
Uh-huh.
And I see it everywhere. What is freely given should be freely give. You should freely give.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have seen behind the curtains, the camouflage pull back, kind of like the Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
where these guys will be asked to come and minister to a church, and they'll say, "Well, how many people do you have?" "Well, we got about 100. "Well, when you get 700, you let me know." And, this angers me.
Now, let me just ask.
The exaltation of pastoral above the other ministries,
mm-hmm.
with salaries and paychecks, and that's a fine line with the hireling situation.
Darren, hey, we're up against a break. Thanks for sharing your heart on that. I'm sure a lot of people are echoing you. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it when we come back. But thanks for the call, Darren. I appreciate it. All right. What do you think about what Darren had to say? Stay with us, and I'll give you my take on it. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Hey, I would really appreciate if you just remember to pray Right after the show, heading over to the airport for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't know, 6, 7, whatever. Just another flight, last extra flights in the last week back and forth, but flying into Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, to get ready for the debate tomorrow night with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering. So would you pray for grace? Would you pray for God's name to be exalted, for light to shine in darkness, and for comfort and hope and strength to be extended to many people? I'd really appreciate that. Remember, you can watch it free online live webcast. If you're anywhere near the Concord, North Carolina area, Fire Church, we'll be watching it together starting at 6:45 on Wednesday. Excuse me, on Thursday, the debate actually starts at 7. And you can watch at your home. Real simple, go to thegreatdebate.me, thegreatdebate.me. And so you can sign up. And I got one piece of good news I'm going to end the show with. But our last caller talked about things that get him upset, the exaltation of pastoral ministry above all other ministries, things having a fee attached to them. And I want to say this, having been saved almost as long as Darren now, it's 38 years, and having been preaching since 1973, so 36-plus years preaching, I know there's corruption out there in the ministry. I know there are people who are hirelings. I know there are people who are preaching the gospel in order to get rich, that there is a carnal prosperity message that is exploited also, not just to preach to people's itching ears, whether people believe it's true or not, it's still false, but it's also a means of bringing in more money for their own ministry. I know that exists, but I want to say plainly, the vast majority of people I know in ministry do it sacrificially. The vast majority of people that I know in ministry do it under financial pressure. I remember the church in which I was saved, the kids just saying how the pastor's kids, 6 kids, that they'd have to pray if they wanted the Christmas present because there was never any extra money. As far as exalting pastoral ministry above other ministries, Darren, it's definitely a problem. We have the one-man show. Yeah, some people are control freaks. That does exist. But generally speaking, it's just a matter of theological or practical ignorance because people don't understand aspects of what we call fivefold ministry or how the other things work together. And it's not that they're just trying to build a kingdom around themselves. It would simply be a matter of ignorance in most cases. So, yeah, your perspective is absolutely right about problems in the way we function, and about some things having fees attached to them that ought not. And yes, people being mercenaries out there, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely dead on, unfortunately. But I'd encourage you to really pray, not that you aren't, but my attitude is to do my best to help fix something that's wrong and encourage something that may not know any better and just be a blessing to them where they are and love on them and encourage them where they are. Because, like I say, the great majority of folks in ministry are not doing it for financial reasons. In fact, they take financial losses doing it compared to what they were doing before, money-wise, or what they could be doing with a career. And you put in a whole lot of hours, and it's certainly not for financial return. So pray and bless and encourage. And where you see an error, take it to the Lord and grieve with Him. Pray for the best. Okay, piece of good news here. The Nebraska legislature passed a law entitled the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that would make it a felony for a doctor to abort an unborn baby that is more than 20 weeks old. Why 20 weeks? Well, by a vote of 44-5, the Nebraska legislature, just a couple days ago, gave final passage to the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. They said by 20 weeks after fertilization, unborn children have pain receptors throughout their body and nerves link these to the brain. So, because of the pain to the unborn child, late-term abortions are now banned in Nebraska. Hey, we want to see more happen, but that is positive. Be encouraged. All right, friends, God willing, tomorrow I'll be live with you from Ohio before the debate. May Jesus be glorified.